Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and it's our hope and our prayer at the Seed Christian Fellowship that you come to know the deep, deep love of God, and that you grow in the outrageous grace of Jesus Christ, and that you go out into the world with the power of the Holy Spirit to share the good news, share your faith. Know God's love, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, and go in the power of the Holy Spirit. Wow. Well, surprise. I think that is exactly what happened with the woman at the well. The unnamed woman at the well came to know the love of God and the grace of Jesus Christ, and she definitely was on the go heading back into Sychar to share what the love of God and the grace of Jesus can do in a person's life. Know, grow, go. Be surprised by God's love. Have you ever been surprised by God's love? Well, during the past 14 weeks, if you've been listening to the programs here, the Seed of Faith, during the last 14 weeks, we have walked with Jesus through Samaria, and we have learned to expect the unexpected. If there is anything that we can take home after 14 weeks in John chapter 4, it is that when Jesus meets us at the wells of our lives, we can expect the unexpected. Please join me in a prayer before we turn to God's Word. Holy God, we come today to your living Word with humility. Help us to expect the unexpected. Help us to be wide-eyed with wonder as you surprise us. Help us to see your everlasting love. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in two passages. One is in the Old Testament, Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 to 34, and then we'll go back to our John passage, which we've been in. Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach each other or say to each other, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. Wow. Isn't that powerful? Just the ending of that verse, verse 34. God says, I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. What a wonderful promise. Turn to the Gospel of John chapter 4. We're in verses 27 through 42 today. Just then, his disciples returned, and they were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, What do you want? Or why are you talking to her? Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then his disciples said to each other, Could someone have brought him food? My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. they are ripe for the harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of the labor. Many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." Wow, isn't that a powerful saying? Jesus is the Savior of the world. I love there's a passage. I'm going to throw one more passage in. I love reading the Psalms, and I read 5 Psalms a day. And Psalm 118, verse 24 says, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." You know, the church, the Greek word is ekklesia. The ekklesia, or the church, is called to be one body, the body of Christ made up of many different members. Sunday is known as the Lord's Day. It was on Sunday that our Lord Jesus rose from the dead, conquering death once and for all. Sunday became the Sabbath of the early Jewish Christian church. It was the day when believers gathered to devote themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, prayer, and the breaking of bread together. The breaking of bread and the sharing of the cup has become a means of grace in which we, the body of Christ, remember and share in Christ's life, death, and resurrection. What a wonderful, wonderful thing to remember that we can celebrate in the teaching of the apostles, fellowship, prayer, and breaking of the bread. In our first reading, the prophet Jeremiah proclaimed that God was going to make a new covenant with his people. This covenant was not going to be like the old covenants. This new covenant would be written on the heart. Well, maybe just if you can, just touch your heart for a moment. Just rub your heart. God's going to write a message on your heart. Maybe God has written a message on your heart. Maybe you know what God is speaking to you today. I'm going to ask you to hear and obey. God says he's going to write a new covenant on your heart, that we would become God's people, experiencing the forgiveness of sins. In fact, Jeremiah says that the Lord, quote, will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. What a wonderful, what a powerful, what a wonderful promise, the forgiveness of sins and the presence of the Lord in our hearts and in our lives forever. This is a covenant, a promise I can live and die for. How about you? Well, I have some surprising news for you. We have spent 14 weeks in this story in John chapter 4. It's my hope and it's my prayer that you have been surprised by God's loving kindness, his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness. Can you imagine hearing about the coming of a Messiah and waiting for centuries for the Messiah, and then boom, bang, on an ordinary day of your ordinary life, Jesus, the Messiah, shows up? That's our story. Well, and I'm sticking to it. May this be true for every one of us today. May the Messiah meet us in the middle of our ordinary life. To be honest with you, when I began this series back in June, I never imagined that I would take this long to walk through Samaria. As a pastor who preaches every Sunday, I pray and then I listen. Our series was inspired by the Holy Spirit. As I look back on the past 14 weeks, I suppose none of us thought we would still be locked down, be locked out of our churches, our schools, our businesses, and even family relationships. I have 7 grandchildren who live 45 miles away, and I haven't been in their presence since January. In a crazy sort of way, it seems like an exile for me. The reality or the normal that I once knew has changed. Life without a mask, well, it's no more. And the freedom to come and go as I please has changed. In a very small way, maybe this time is just a tiny sliver of the time of Jeremiah, when the Israelites were experiencing trials, difficulties, devastation, death. And then God gives the prophet Jeremiah promise of a new covenant. I've been reading and rereading this story every day during the past 14 weeks. The story in John chapter 4 of the woman at the well. I'd encourage you to go read it. I've been reading it and rereading it every day. I have thought about Jesus' gentleness and loving kindness towards the wayward woman at the well who had a difficult life. I thought about the debate of where to worship, how to worship, when to worship, and why we need to worship. I have thought about the disciples going into Sychar and never even mentioning to anyone that they were there to get food because Jesus, the Messiah, was just outside of town at the well. I thought about the woman's response. The woman leaves her past behind and runs to her future. Go to the town and tell all the people the good news, the great news, the greatest news. The Messiah is here. He is gentle. He's kind. He's forgiving. He told me everything I had ever done, and he still loves me. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and we're wrapping up a series on the woman at the well. And I want you to know, no matter where you're at, no matter what you've done, Jesus wants to meet you. He wants to meet you at the well of your life, and he wants to tell you that he loves you and that you're forgiven. That's what he did for the woman at the well. The people of the town now head to the well to meet the man who says he is the Messiah. Can you imagine waiting, watching, and hoping for the Messiah? Then there he is. Every closed business sign goes on the doorway and the people are off. It's a race to the well. At the well, they meet Jesus, and, well, they want more time with him. They ask Jesus to stay with him. Please don't miss it. These are Samaritans. They hate the Jewish people. The Jewish people hate them. Don't miss that. Jesus agrees and stays 2 days. This means Jesus' Jewish disciples stay too. Surprise, surprise, surprise. One thing you can count on, our God is full of surprises. He brings together two groups of people that hate each other, and they meet together and they find the love of God. Verse 41 says in John 4:41, and because of Jesus' words, many more became believers. Well, my vision of the 2 days in Sychar is that Jesus shared with them the Word, the Logos of God. You see, the Samaritans believed in the first 5 books of the Bible, and now they have Jesus sharing the Word, the Logos of God, with them for 2 days. I don't have enough time to share my thoughts on this, but what I want to say is that the people of the town heard the news of the woman at the well, and they ran to see for themselves. And after sitting with Jesus for 2 days, they are now believers. Jesus is the Messiah of the world. Don't miss this story. It's our story. The word believe is used in some form or fashion 3 times in the closing scenario of our story. Numerous Samaritans from the town believed in Jesus because of what the woman at the well said, verse 39. After 2 days, many more of them became believers because of Jesus' personal message, verse 41. Then verse 42, I love the closing of the story. We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. The whole town of Sychar was converted to Christ in just a few days. These Samaritans were the first to proclaim he truly is the Savior of the world. Don't miss that point either. The Samaritans, the outcast, the half-breeds, the ones who weren't welcome to come into Jerusalem, the Samaritans were the first to proclaim he truly is the Savior of the world. I don't know where you're at. I don't know if you haven't been to church in a while. Many of us haven't. But Jesus wants to meet you at your well, whatever your well is, and he wants to tell you that he loves you and that you're forgiven and that he is the Savior of the world. Did you catch it? Don't miss it. These rejected Samaritans spend 2 days with Jesus, and they're the first ones to announce Jesus is the Savior of the world. Not just Sychar, not just the town that you're living in or the family you're living in. Jesus is the Savior of the world. The Jewish people were looking for a Jewish Messiah who would be the Savior of the Jewish people. Sometimes Jesus, sometimes Jesus just has to show up in the middle of our ordinary days and turn it upside down. It's a similar experience of being like in a snow globe. You ever, maybe growing up, you didn't have those snow globes, but growing up, my mom and my grandmother had those snow globes, and you know, you turn it upside down and it snows. Well, Jesus is not just the Savior of the Jewish people. Jesus is not just the Savior of the people in your church. Jesus is the Savior of the world. How amazing is that? I'd like to share a story of a man, his name is Lynn Wallace, who did not believe and had set out to prove that the story of Jesus was false. After 6 years given to the impartial investigation of Christianity to its truth or falsity, I have come to the deliberate conclusion that Jesus Christ is the Messiah of the Jews, the Savior of the world, my personal Savior. That's what he wrote in his book after he spent 6 years trying to prove that Christianity was false. These were the words of Lynn Wallace, governor of New Mexico, over a century ago, 1878 to 1881. He had started out to write a book against Jesus Christ and in the process was converted to Christianity. He told a friend how it happened. This is in his own words. He said, "I'd always been an agnostic and denied Christianity. Robert C. Ingersoll, a famous agnostic, was one of my most intimate friends. He once suggested, 'See here, Wallace, you're a learned man and a thinker. Why don't you gather material and write a book to prove that Jesus, the theory of Jesus Christ is false, that no such man has ever lived, much less the author of the teachings found in the New Testament. Such a book would make you famous. It would be a masterpiece and a way of putting an end to the foolishness of that so-called Christ.' The thought made a deep impression on Wallace, and he discussed the possibility of such a book. He went to Indianapolis, his own hometown, and he told his wife what he intended to do. Well, she was a member of a Methodist church, and naturally she did not like my plan, he says, but I decided to do it anyway, and it began to collect material in libraries here and in the old world. He says, I gathered everything over that period in which Jesus Christ, according to legend, should have lived. Several years were spent in this work. He said, I'd written nearly 4 chapters when it became clear to me that Jesus Christ was just as real a personality as Socrates, Plato, and Caesar. The conviction became a certainty. I knew that Jesus Christ had lived because of the facts connected with the period in which he lived. I was in an uncomfortable position, Wallace said. I have begun to write a book to prove that Jesus Christ had never lived on earth. Now I was face to face with the fact that he was just an historic personage. He was just as a historic personage as Julius Caesar or Mark Antony or Virgil or Dante and a host of other men who had lived in the olden days. I asked myself candidly, if he was a real person, and there was no doubt, was he not then also the Son of God and the Savior of the world? Gradually, the consciousness grew that since Jesus Christ was a real person, he probably was the one he claimed to be. I fell on my knees to pray for the first time in my life, and I asked God to reveal himself to me, forgive my sins, and help me become a follower of Christ. Towards morning, the light broke into my soul, and I went into my bedroom, woke up my wife, and told her that I had received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. "Oh, Lou," she said, "I have prayed for this ever since you told me of your purpose to write this book, that you would find him while you wrote it." Lynn Wallace did write an incredibly famous book. It was a masterpiece and the crowning glory of his life's work. He changed the book he was originally writing and used all his research to write another book. Now, every time I watch the epic film made from the book, I see Charlton Heston racing those four magnificent white horses in that amazing chariot race. I wonder how many who have seen Ben-Hur, with its moving references to Jesus, know it was written by a man who wanted to disprove that Jesus ever existed, and instead became convinced that he was the greatest man who ever lived. Sometimes I just need to hit the pause button. Stop, drop to my knees and praise God. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. Thank you, God, for this unnamed woman at the well. Thank you for the Samaritans. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. When we share communion at our church, we are doing what Christ asked us to do. He says, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood poured out for you." When we share communion at our church, we remember his life, his death, and his resurrection. Jesus Christ is not just the Savior of the world. Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. He is also yours, too. In 6 Hours One Friday, Max Lucado tells a story of a missionary in Brazil who discovered a tribe of Indians in a remote part of a jungle. They lived near a large river. The tribe needed medical attention. A contagious disease was ravaging the population. People were dying daily. A hospital was not far away across the river, but the Indians would not cross it because they believed the river was inhabited by evil spirits. To enter the water would mean certain death. The missionary explained how he had crossed the river and was unharmed. They were not impressed. He then took them to the bank and placed his hands in the water. They still would not go in. He walked into the water up to his waist and splashed water on the face. On his face, it didn't matter. They were still afraid to enter the river. Finally, he dove into the river, swam beneath the surface until he emerged on the other side. He punched a triumphant fist into the air. He had entered the water and escaped. It was then that the Indians broke out into a cheer and followed him across. Hear the good news on this day. Jesus Christ has entered your personal river of death, and he has come out on the other side. And so we conclude our series, 14 weeks at Jacob's Well, the well just outside Sychar in Samaria. Trust me, Jesus has been surprising this old pastor, and I pray God has been surprising you too. Let's pray. God, what a long drink from a wellspring of eternal life we have just experienced. Thank you for waiting for me at the many wells of my life. Thank you for knowing everything about me and forgiving me and giving me grace and mercy and love instead of judgment. Lord, thank you for surprising me in the middle of my ordinary life. You are the Savior of the world, and you turn my life from ordinary to extraordinary. Know that God loves you, and so do I. That's my prayer for you, that you'll be surprised by the love of God. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.